Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by Levi's.
It's a two-on-one. On the break, Isaiah Jones throws it up. Three, throws it down.
Wow.
Three-on-one.
Which way did he go? Edwards.
From the backside, he was on his back.
Drives inside. Lamb counted and a foul.
He just got ejected. That's a huge blow.
Curry, left-hand dribble stops. Shoots a three off the dribble. Got it! Curry!
Put him to sleep.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by Levi's. I'm Malika Andrews, and what a wild Wednesday we had in the association. LeBron James continuing to break records, mayhem in Philadelphia, and Steph Curry with an all-time night-night celebration. But out of all of these, here is the image of the night, right? Steph Curry's face. This was after Draymond Green was ejected less than 5 minutes into the Golden State Warriors game against the Orlando Magic. It sparked plenty of questions about if the rest of the organization feels the way Steph's face looks in this photo. So let's show you exactly what went down here. The Golden State Warriors on the second night of a back-to-back in Orlando. Danny Green, Mark Spears here with me as well. Watch Paolo Banchero really goes into Draymond's chest there. Draymond, Danny, starts his discussion with the refs early.
Not a good start for them. I don't like it. He knows this. The bigger picture, he's got to be smarter and understand what's at risk.
Well, that advice is good, but it wouldn't take place immediately. Draymond continuing his conversations. You can see here he was issued a technical foul here, but the conversation, Mark Spears, continued after that. Draymond keeps talking some more. Yeah.
This is game 35. He's missed 35 games. You might as well call this 36 because this is so early in the game to get tossed. The Warriors just don't need that right now. They've missed too much Draymond this season.
Well, he's the only player with multiple first quarter ejections over the last 20 seasons. You can see here Steph Curry shaking his head, clearly distraught, upset. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but it really appears that he has a lot of emotions here, not happy at all with what Draymond did. Here was Steph Curry on this ejection.
All I say is we need him. He knows that. We all know that. So whatever it takes to keep him on the floor, him be available, that's what's got to happen.
Well, he wasn't available for the rest of the game, but guess who was? Steph Curry. In the fourth quarter here, the Warriors up by three. Steph carving through the defense, lays it up high off the glass there, extends the Golden State Warriors lead. And here, in the next possession, waning seconds, Steph Curry, dagger three. And then he hits the extended night-night celebration. We put a timer on it. For nearly 6 seconds, Steph had 70 points, 10 assists. The Warriors win 101-93. Draymond Green, of course, he took to his podcast after the game.
Just can't happen. I said what I said. I deserve to get kicked out at that point. And what I said, if I'm all the way honest with y'all, I kind of was trying to turn my body and angle and go to the bench. And I said what I said, like a little too soon before angling my body to the bench. But yeah, it just can't happen. And, you know, like we need to win games. So, like I said, not going to overreact. Like, oh man, like stuff is never as good as it seems. It's never as bad as it seems. Like I know where I am. I understand what I'm doing moving forward. And in my position, just make sure that that's the exception and not the rule.
But it hasn't been the exception, and that's the problem. As we say hello to our senior writer, Zach Lowe, you just heard Draymond, Zach, say that his justification for what happened, he also said over and over again he's not going to overreact. But how do you react to this?
The only words I wanted to hear there and the only ones I remember were, it can't happen because it can't. He's missed too many games this season, and he's too good. This is what drives me crazy about this. He's still one of the 10 best defensive players in the NBA. He'd make one of my all-defensive teams if he had played 65 games. He won't get there because he's been suspended from a bunch of games and ejected from a bunch of others, and the Warriors' margin for error is like this. Here come the Rockets fighting for every game, running teams off the floor. Draymond is lucky the Warriors won last night in Orlando. They're lucky Andrew Wiggins played his best game in a long time. Draymond is lucky, that is. And look, I didn't like this at the time. One of my least favorite things of the season was Draymond, when he got suspended for the Yusuf Nurkic thing, saying afterwards, well, that really helped our team. It turned out that was a helpful thing for our team because it gave Steve Kerr leeway to play Jonathan Kuminga more, and look what we found. It didn't help the team. There's no spinning this. They'd be better with him, and if they miss the playoffs and they finish 10th and lose in the play-in, if they finish 11th because this feisty Rockets team catches them,
right,
a large part of the blame is going to be on all the games that he missed. There's no way to spin it. It can't happen.
Mark, how willing are the Warriors? Maybe the $100,000 contract was the answer. Yeah. How willing are the Warriors to continue to deal with these outbursts? But the look on Steph Curry's face, I've never seen anything like that.
I think that was the icing on a very dry piece of cake. You know, I think this could be the most frustrating season of Steph's career, right? I mean, they were a round away from the conference final now, and now they could barely make the playoffs. And you don't think Memphis is going to be better next year, right? You don't think Houston's going to be better next year. San Antonio is going to be better. You know, there's no margin for error. And I think the problem is, it's not just Draymond. What did they do to help Steph?
Right.
They didn't do anything. He asked for help. They didn't get him. They weren't willing to trade Curry's contract. I mean, CP's contract. You know, they didn't trade Kuminga. They didn't trade Wiggins. They didn't get him any help. And these are the last days of a super amazing career, and the Warriors are wasting it. They're not helping them. Draymond's not helping them. And that's why I think you see the frustration.
Yeah, it's tough. We know Dre has had some issues, and he's been working on them. And they say it takes 21 days to build new habits, maybe longer for Draymond. I talked about this with my co-host on my podcast. It was the only reason why I know this. But yeah, Draymond at this point in his career, he should know, and being married with kids, at some point in this time in your age, it doesn't matter being right. Mm. You can't keep arguing with the referees. You can't keep trying to prove your point. You gotta just let things go and see the bigger picture. Steph's reaction, I'm not going to say he was crying, but it is alarming to see him that emotional. Yeah. And it could be other things that's going on outside the court for him, and everything came all at once. And he was emotional even when they won. You could see he was excited because this is a game. Orlando's been really good this year.
The chair.
Yeah. Kicked the chair.
That's not atypical outburst.
What was the chair's problem? Yeah. The chair didn't do nothing to that man.
No, but he's excited. It's just a big emotional game. You see all the emotions coming out of him. And because this was a big win, Orlando is a good team this year. They're on the brink of playing. Houston's playing really well. They're catching up. But seeing Steph's reaction there lets me to believe that there's something bigger going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. There had to be a conversation about Draymond's actions, if he continued them, that something bad is going to happen. So the reaction of Steph was not a good one. I won't say he was crying, but he did look really emotional, and it's a concern.
To me, he looked fed up.
Yeah.
And again, I do not want to put words in Steph Curry's mouth, but that is the look of someone who is fed up, who has had enough, who has seen this story before and is tired of seeing it, particularly because, as you said, Mark, these are the final days, years, months, however you want to put it, on Steph Curry's prime. He is not getting any younger.
No.
So if he is fed up, Zach Lowe, what does that mean? Because Golden State has already committed a $100 million four-year contract to Draymond Green. And they are limited, at least in what they can do right now.
Well, they're trying to keep the focus on the court because come hell or high water, the core of this team still thinks we can catch a rhythm. We can do something special. And the bottom line is they're fighting an uphill battle just to catch a rhythm and get in the playoffs and maybe draw the Denver Nuggets in the first round, which is a nightmare for anybody. When you're in that situation as an organization, it is inevitable that half of your vision, a quarter of your vision, will be on next season and the season after that. And this team has to figure out, because as long as Steph Curry is in Golden State, they are going to try to win. And they have to figure out, can we win at a higher level next season around Steph Curry? What does that look like? Does Draymond Green fit into that vision? Because if Draymond Green loses Steph Curry, the number of like ride or die allies he's got there is going to dwindle pretty fast. But here's the problem. The rest of the league has watched this. I'm not sure how many teams are like, sign me up for 3 years and $75 million more of that as Draymond crosses age 35. He's still a great player, but it's got to be the exact right kind of team. It needed the exact right kind of player, and that's a tough needle to thread. It's a tough spot for the Warriors.
You mentioned the loss of allies. Mark, you know Draymond better than anybody, at least at this table. Has he lost that?
For Steph to respond that way, I mean, they dapped after the game. There was love after the game.
Absolutely.
But I think we'll see this offseason. We'll see how this season finishes. I think this has to be it for Draymond. There can't be anything else. The margin of error for this team is razor thin. Houston is doing miracle things right now.
Yeah, 10 in a row.
And, at some point, and I know Draymond really well, like, talk is cheap, right? Like, you. It sounds good, but they need him on the floor, period.
Yeah, he's losing his guys. I mean, I'd have to say they're losing a lot of confidence in him. I wouldn't say respect, somewhat. He can turn around. There's obviously people can forget when you do successful things and you win and you help win.
Yeah.
But if this happens again.
35 games.
There's only not that many games left. If this happens again toward the end of the season and something happens where they don't make the play-in, or if they're in the play-in and they lose and they go home early, there's going to be some conversations where said Draymond might have to be moved.
Draymond Green is one of the smartest players that all of us have
smartest
been around.
People.
We have seen it on the floor. We have seen how much his teammates
a
know.
Genius.
How he is. He's such a key to what the Golden State Warriors do. He clearly knows that. It's just about continuing to be available because their margin for error is razor thin. And we're going to get into that more coming up here on NBA Today. But also, can Joel Embiid, his imminent return, save the 76ers season? We're going to check Zach's confidence level. That's coming up here. And Danny Green. You want a ring with LeBron James and the Lakers?
Yeah, I've been lucky. I think I like their chances.
Oh, all right. They're getting rolling at the exact right time. Plus, today it's not Michael Jordan Day officially, but we could make it that. You're not going to believe all the amazing things that MJ did on this date in history. We're going to tell you. Don't go anywhere. You're watching NBA Today.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
NBA Today is presented by Levi's. The floor is yours.
We always thought James Harden's return to Philadelphia, it would be eventful, but it turns out it was in more ways than one. So James Harden returning as a member of the Clippers for the very first time. This is how fans reacted to Harden early in the game. So you can hear the boos. Here's what James Harden thought about this reception.
I expected it. I really don't know what it was about, but I expected it. And so it is what it is.
I don't even know
why they were booing. I don't think. If you ask them, they probably don't know why they were booing.
Probably because he requested a trade out of their franchise. But I really don't know. We're going to pick this up. It's a two-point game. Less than a minute left to go here. Kawhi Leonard. This is when Perk would call him Kawhi Leonard Jordan.
Those are men. as Martin Jackson would say.
Acrobatic moves there, but then Buddy Hield just with a absolutely monstrous three there, and he's not even fazed. But then Kawhi Leonard again, this is the guy who you want to have the ball in his hands. Oh yes, and one. He would head to the free throw line where he would make his free throw. So now the Clippers up by one. Kelly Oubre goes to the basket to elevate. He wanted a foul called there. Pretty upset that there was no
little
foul.
Push a little. What do you
clean
think?
Up top, a little bit on the body, so
yeah,
I understand why he's frustrated.
A little on the side.
A little bit there, but it would end up being a jump ball. The Clippers aren't able to gain possession. Oubre once again. Possible contact from Paul George, but no call was made there, so the game is over. The Clippers win 108-107.
The New Orleans came out of that, boy. The New Orleans came out.
Well, Oubre nurse, they were not happy with the referees. Oh. That's how we're going to term that. And they let them hear it.
What is he? He called every one of them up.
Yeah.
You won.
And your
and
entire
you
family,
won.
Too. All right, here was Kevin Scott, what he told a reporter following the game. He said, on the last play on the floor, in real time, the crew interpreted that play as the defender jumping vertically. However, in post-game video review, we did observe some slight drift to his left by the defender, George, and a foul should have been ruled. Kelly Oubre, he was apologetic for his actions after the game. Take a listen.
We're not perfect. The refs aren't perfect. I want to apologize for just losing my cool because that's something I try to work on. But I saw Coach Nurse getting riled up, and if our coach is going to fight for us and, you know, he's going there, then I'm right behind him. So, but at the end of the day, it wasn't cool. So, you know, I'll take whatever penalties come with that and, you know, just have to move on. But I got to be better.
As an amateur lip reader, I'm going to say, you know what?
You ain't got to be an amateur to read that.
He took responsibility, and that's what's important. There is some positive news here for Philadelphia, though. Head coach Nick Nurse said today the Sixers star Joel Embiid practiced with the team. He will go on their upcoming road trip to get some more work in with the group. Philadelphia has won just 10 of the 27 games that Embiid has missed, dropping from 5th to 8th in the East during that span. Remember, Embiid had surgery on his meniscus about 7 weeks ago. Zach Lowe is back with us here. Zach, it is sounding like Embiid is getting closer and closer to returning, although we don't have a firm timetable yet. The expectation, the hope, is Philly gets him back before the end of the regular season. So because these two teams just played each other, because we have seen these two teams fall in their respective conferences, who do you have more confidence in if healthy, the Clippers or the 76ers, sir?
I'm going to go with the Clippers almost by default just because I don't know what condition Joel Embiid's going to be in right away. And I don't even know how they're going to get out of the play-in or if they're going to get out of the play-in. But I'll say this. The Clippers, they went 26-5, I think, in 131-game sample. Dominated the league. Seemed to establish themselves as title contenders. No-brainer. Stone cold lock. They're 11-12 in their last 23 games. That's almost as long in mediocrity as they were at the top of the league. That's almost as long a stretch. And if you watch them, you know. I mean, they might as well have driven out of that arena last night in a getaway car. They stole that game so blatantly. And look, they've just lost a little something,
yeah.
A little pop, a little flow, a little rhythm, something. And maybe it's just Russ was injured. Everyone else was in and out of the lineup. Everyone's missed 2-3 games here and there. It's hard to get that continuity. But they got to get their flow back fast because the Pelicans are waiting for them in the first round of the playoffs. And the Pelicans are tough, 3-1 against the Clippers. Absolutely no joke. They've got to get back to playing the way they were in that 26-5 stretch.
I'm going with the Sixers. Because when they had Joel Embiid, they were the best team in the
really?
East. They were no slouch.
Okay.
And, you know, I talked to Tyrese Maxey on Monday in Sacramento, and he was excited about the supporting cast that Joel is going to return to. Obviously, he's an all-star. They got Batum. They got Tobias Harris, Buddy Hield, Kyle Lowry, DeAnthony Melton, and the Oubre, my guy Oubre.
Yeah.
Like, they got a lot of people to help this team that weren't there before.
Right.
And they're in the East. and the Clippers always clip.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought him up because their best lineups have had both Joel Embiid and DeAnthony Melton in them. And Melton's has been out, too. His last game was at the end of February, and he only played 3 games in the month of February. So if somehow both of those guys, they can get back, they really need all of those pieces. If they fall to 8th somehow, though, and end up in a first-round series against the Boston Celtics, that's what worries me, Danny.
Yeah, if I'm the rest of the teams, I'm nervous. But I'm with you, Mark. I'm with Philly. I think them healthy, being in the East, not as strong as the West. If you're a Cleveland Cavaliers team or Milwaukee team and have to face the Philadelphia 76ers with a healthy Joel Embiid in shape and they're a 2 or 3 seed, I'm a little nervous if I'm those teams.
Who are you picking, right?
Yeah, if they had matched up with Cleveland, that's an early exit for Cleveland in the first round. Joel, with Nick Nurse coaching them, they're a really good team. And with everybody healthy, if they get D'Anthony back, who knows what this team can be.
Right.
Obviously, it all depends on how Joel takes his health serious and how conditioned he gets in. But I'm going with Philly and how well they can be with Tyrese and Tobias, Kelly Oubre, all those guys you mentioned. And so Joel leading the way. He's obviously, to me, the MVP of the league. And he has been the most valuable, even the last couple of years. They're 10-17 without him.
It does.
Not even a playoff team.
Right. It feels less dire, though, for the Philadelphia 76ers than it does for the Clippers, right?
Yeah.
Because the Sixers, if they are a first-round exit, mm-hmm. right, if they do lose to the Boston Celtics, if they fall all the way, or even if they lose to one of those other teams, the Cavaliers, the Bucks, whomever it may be early on, Joel Embiid wasn't healthy.
The expectations are lower.
Right, and this was always a year where Tyrese Maxey has played so incredibly well. But we were talking about this not that long ago as a potential gap year as they figured out how to replace James Harden. Mm-hmm. They're ahead of schedule versus the Los Angeles Clippers. They are not getting any younger. They are moving to a brand-new arena. Paul George has still not signed a contract. I don't know, Zach. When I look at that, that is why it seems like there's a whole lot more on the Clippers right now.
They have no team in the league has more pressure on them than the Clippers. And I don't know if this is just a veteran team that says, all right, we established who we were in that dominant stretch. Wake us up in the playoffs. But you got to wake up soon because every single game in the playoffs is going to be tough and you got to play your A-to-A-plus game. And we just haven't seen that really almost across the board from this team, top of the roster, middle of the roster, bottom of the roster, in too long. And it's a dangerous game that we're just going to flip the switch when we have to, when you got a young, hungry Pelicans team
right.
staring at you. There is no question. I mean, I feel like we say it every year. This is the biggest season in the history of the Clippers
yeah.
franchise. This is the biggest season in the history of the Clippers franchise.
Well, particularly when you also sprinkle on the fact that Kawhi Leonard's played in 65 games.
Yeah.
Paul George has played in 65 games. If I'd asked you a couple of months ago what the Clippers' biggest ailment was going to be, you probably would have said
their availability
and their health. That has not been an issue. James Harden has been their most consistent player recently. He has been showing up and doing his part.
They got talent.
So with all of that, that's where you start to go, okay, that's why the Clippers have so much pressure on them. We do need to visit, though, the other team that resides here in the city that we all are sitting in, the Los Angeles Lakers, because LeBron did something last night that no other player has done ever. Find out what that is coming up here. And the Suns. This doesn't make any sense to me. They lose to Wemby, the Wembyless Spurs.
Don't try to figure it out.
They beat the Denver Nuggets. I know they didn't have Nikola.
Don't do it.
I know they didn't have Jamal Murray, but Tim Legler, he dropped by to show us what the Suns need to do every night. Plus, on this date, Michael Jordan, he had so many memorable career moments. We decided to show you them all, because why not? And then everyone has to pick their favorite. Let us know yours.
Seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
They're still in the ninth spot.
This is probably where the Lakers will be the rest of the way.
Sacramento goes 4-0 against the Lakers.
Every game, there's something at stake for this Lakers team.
Oh, Davis with authority. James on the bounce, drives inside, and a flush.
We're not really focused on seeding. Try to win as many games as you can and then see where you land.
You're watching NBA Today, presented by Levi's.
Don't look now, but the Lakers are clicking at the right time. Despite not having Anthony Davis against the Grizzlies, LA got their season-best fifth straight win thanks to, you know, a ho-hum 23-14-12 from LeBron James. Danny, you've won a ring with him. How confident are you that they can get through the play-in and win a first-round series here?
I'm very confident. You know, the maturity that they have with the rest of the group, not just LeBron James, but the pieces they have and the coaching, I think they can get it done. Never count out LeBron James, what he's done time and time again, giving impressive flowers. They are the Philadelphia 76ers of the West. There's a team you don't want to face in the first round of the playoffs.
I like that analogy. Is maturity, though, that's a euphemism for this, that LeBron James has two triple doubles at the age of 39.
Super mature.
Exactly.
Not old, he's just
super,
very mature.
Super mature. By the way, that is more than all other players age 39 or older combined.
Wow.
The Lakers, however, are far from the hottest team in the West right now. That honor belongs to the Houston Rockets. The Rockets, they just keep rolling. Jalen Green, he's been on fire recently. This is the time of year, you know, sometimes we don't see the stars play. No SGA for the Thunder on this one. This is early in the second. Thunder down.
Why you got to do that to the OG?
I didn't know he had that in him.
Why you do that to the OG?
He just had to prove he knows Jeff Green can still do that. So he had to say, you know what? I got it too. All right, going to the
nice
fourth
to
quarter
elder.
Here. Halfway through the fourth, Rockets down 98-94. Jalen Green splits the defense.
Prolific prep.
Absolutely balling.
Been exceptional, really, in the entire month of March. Just hangs in the air there. Then, under 4 minutes to go, Thunder down by one. Josh Giddey, he falls, decides, yeah, you know what, I'll take the shot from there.
That's a hell of a risky play. And heads
horse.
Up.
Can you make that in horse, Danny?
No. Especially in the fourth quarter, that close of a game.
His teammates are loving it. 25 seconds left. The Rockets down by one. Green finds Jabari Smith Jr. in the corner for three. Knocks it down.
Big
then
bucket.
Less than 8 seconds remaining here. The Thunder down 112-109. Jalen Williams, he knocks down the three to tie the game. So to overtime we go, my friends. 1 minute left in OT. The Rockets up by three. This time, Jalen Green, the other Jalen, going to work, hits a step back three.
I'm glad he's finally, like, living up to all the hype. I've seen him since high school. This kid is special. He's going to be all-star next year.
Yeah.
Next
like
Rockets possession.
Playing
Green
like he's about to start a family, you know?
Attacks the rim.
See.
You had to do that. Tari Eason, he may be out for the season, but you know what? He still had something to say about this team.
Warriors! Come out to play! Warriors! Come out to play! Yeah! It's like that!
How's that falsetto? Play! What? Whoa, that was some range here. But the Rockets, they deserve it. They've won 10 straight. They're a game back of Golden State for the 10th seed. So with 10 games left for each team, here's what the path looks like down the final stretch here. The Rockets, they must finish a game ahead of the Golden State Warriors because remember, the Warriors, they own the tiebreaker. They cannot finish with the same record. And if you look at the bottom of the screen right there, these two teams, they have one more meeting. So clear your calendars for next Thursday. I know what I'm going to be doing. I'm pulling up to that. I'm pulling up to that. Yeah, that's how excited I am to see who is the 10th seed. Zach, do you think the Golden State Warriors are going to be able to hang on and stave off the Rockets for that spot?
They better keep playing well because the Rockets aren't going anywhere. I know the Rockets have a tough schedule. They got the Mavericks a couple times. They're facing a bunch of teams that need to win. This team has found something. They're playing at a turbocharged pace. Jalen Green is making the leap right before our eyes, and they are tough as hell. They seem to get in a fight every single game. They make winning plays on both ends of the floor. They've been great on both ends. Ime Udoka has crafted this into a tough defensive team. The Warriors are not going to be able to limp into the 10th seed. They're not going to be able to hang their hat on, well, we've got the head-to-head tiebreaker and an easier schedule. That's it. You got to come out and play because this team is not going anywhere.
I agree. Their new starting five has been awesome. Jabari Smith Jr. at center has worked really well. Thompson's been really incredible. 25-15 last night. And Jalen Green, I don't know what's happened over the course of this last month, but all of a sudden, he's so impressive.
We got to give Ime Udoka some love.
Absolutely.
For everything that he's gone through to be coaching this team and them doing what they're doing. It's incredible.
Like, they're playing with house money. They're not nervous. They're just hooping. You know, you got my guy from LSU talking trash to the Warriors. They have no pressure. And these, they're like them pesky kids from Scooby-Doo, man. They, you just want them to go away, and they won't go away. And they're fun to watch, and get ready to watch them for a long time.
10 wins in a row. The only other team to do that this season, the Boston Celtics. That's pretty good company to keep. Who's going to get the 10th seed, though, the Warriors or the Rockets, Danny Green?
I like to go with the experience of the Warriors, but the way the Rockets are playing, it's hard to bet against them.
Right.
No Sagun. Jalen Green's been stepping up unbelievable.
Yeah.
So I got to give a lot of credit not only to Ime Udoka, but Dylan Brooks, Fred VanVleet, those leaders that are getting those young guys ready and in playoff form and in shape to be ready for this playing game. But Golden State, just the experience and the fact that they've been there, I can't bet against Steph.
I do not bet against the Golden State Warriors. But even if they don't make the 10th seed, the Rockets, this is a huge success. They're like the Oklahoma City Thunder of last season.
For
they
sure.
made a huge leap here, and I expect them to make another huge one next season. I do want to pivot to the other two teams, though, in the West. They are also battling for playoff position in their own right. The Suns and the Denver Nuggets. They were in action last night. No Jamal Murray here for the Denver Nuggets, for the reigning champs. The Suns coming in with the single most difficult remaining schedule in the NBA. So picking this one up in the second quarter tie game. Kevin Durant doing what he does, going to work there, Danny Green.
Yeah, this is the sense of urgency that they needed all season. I'm glad they're playing with it now, but they got to continue this for the rest of the season.
Michael Porter Jr., though, just a huge night for him. 18 points, 8 rebounds, really showing up in every way.
Kid's come a long way from that back injury, man. I'm really happy for him.
Early in the third quarter here, the Suns lead by 10. Durant drills the triple. The Suns up 69-56. And then under 6 minutes to go here, the Nuggets trail by 9. Jokic resets, gets the pass back, drills the 3. Nuggets trail 71-65. Nuggets next possession. This is what Nikola Jokic does. Goes right through his defender, hits the layup and the foul, finishes the 3-point play. The Nuggets down by 3. And then Kevin Durant elevates, hits the fadeaway. The Suns pushing their lead once again. And then Eric Gordon hits the corner 3. Michael Malone not happy with this one. But the fourth quarter, Danny, this is where the Suns have had so many issues and where the Nuggets are really dominant.
Yeah, well, Phoenix needs better leadership. I think they're starting to get that now. Obviously, Denver's been there. But without Jamal Murray, I don't think it was enough for Phoenix that night.
Jokic had 22 points, 10 assists, 9 rebounds.
Huge win.
Durant, 30-13, 5 blocks, though. The Suns get a much-needed win, 104-97. Kevin Durant, he might be 35, but his game is timeless. He is one of 2 Suns players in the last 25 seasons with 30 points, 10 boards, 5 blocks in a game. The other is the Matrix, Sean Marion. That was back in 2006. And you know who else spent some time over with the Suns? Our very own Tim Legler. Started his career in Phoenix, right? And he is more on what this offense can be.
Well, Malik, a big part of this victory is being plus 18 at the 3-point line for the Phoenix Suns over the Nuggets, and in large part to the quality of shots that they got at the 3 with ball movement and opening up the middle of the floor. I'll give you a couple examples of when I really like Phoenix when they operate their offense like this. And there's nothing special to it. It's simple ball screen basketball. You get a screener, you get one of their top scorers coming off with the basketball, and the goal here is to drag 2 with you. And it's exactly what Kevin Durant does, and now you're going to get a slip to the middle. So there's all kinds of space, with the goal being, let's force some sort of reaction out of the weak side defense. It's exactly what happens. Comes off, ball goes middle. Now, if you make one pass out of this to either of these weak side players, there's a very good chance you're just going to be able to close out. So whether the ball goes here or here, either of those 2 backline defenders are going to be able to make a pretty hard closeout and take it away. But when you make 2 passes, you force communication. And that's exactly what they do here. First pass comes out. You see both guys in a rush to try to contest Devin Booker at the 3-point line, which means one more swing to the corner. And now, instead of a contested 3, a wide open one for Bradley Beal. First points on the board. Great execution, great offense. Here's similar action. Basically, the exact same thing coming from the opposite side of the floor. You're going to get this screen right here by Thad Young. Set the screen. This time it's Devin Booker coming off. An elite level offensive player, same thing. Your goal, drag 2 defenders with you and then get a slip to the middle. And that's exactly what we get. Here's the action. One more time. Now, if you make 1 pass, you're going to get a hard closeout. But here's the thing. When you make 2 passes, now you're putting the defense in a tough spot because you're going to get the first closeout there. But that second swing pass, there's nobody there to cover that. That's exactly what they get. And once again, it's Bradley Beal benefiting from this. And he gets going early in the game. And I just thought Phoenix execution in this one, a little bit more difficult to cover. As a result, their offense flowed and they get a much needed win in Denver.
Tim, thank you. They're going to need more of that, though, because the Suns, they find themselves in a really precarious spot when it comes to the postseason. The analytics, they are not in their favor. They have a 78% chance to be involved some way, somehow in the play-in. But with the West being so close, they could end up in a couple of different spots, as you see there.
You don't want to play down.
Yeah. They can get scary in the postseason, but so can these guys. Because don't look now. The Knicks are getting healthy. Do you hear that? That's Stephen A. somewhere on vacation just throwing a party. Are they the biggest threat to the Celtics in the East? We debate. NBA Today. We'll be right back. You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What do you guys want? You want Eastern Conference Final? Is that what the goal is? Is it a championship? Is it, what are we trying
to
do?
Well, it should be a championship, but you got to crawl before you.
Okay.
This New York Knicks team is a legit title contender this season.
It's not just about getting those players that are injured back healthy, but getting them acclimated so they can get some kind of rhythm.
This is a team you don't want to play early on in the playoffs where you got to go out there and get a bucket. That game going to slow down? Them guys going to strap up.
So the Knicks, they were in Toronto last night where they hung a cool 45 on the Raptors, the most they've scored in a game since 2006. Deuce McBride, he became the third Knick this season to hit 9 three-pointers while Jalen Brunson added 26 of his own. And guess who's back? Back again, Mitchell Robinson, chipping in 8 points in 12 minutes, his first action since December 8th. So let's take a look here at where the East stands after last night. The Celtics, of course, sit atop. The Bucks in the standings. The Knicks, they jumped to third, though. The Cavaliers, they fell to fourth with their home loss to the Hornets last night. The Magic and the Pacers, they round out the top six. So I think it's time for a new segment here on NBA Today. We're going to call it On the Low. This is where we highlight the under-the-radar players, storylines, teams. I make things like players and storylines rhyme. It's a playoff picture when it's all said and done. So Zach Lowe, who are some 3 sneaky teams, players, or storylines with the regular season ending in just 17 days that you're keeping your eye on here?
Yeah, we're going sneaky. No Lakers, no Warriors, no Celtics. Let's start in Orlando. The most exciting under-the-radar nerd thing happening in the NBA right now is, oh my God, Jonathan Isaac. Jonathan Isaac is everywhere on defense. He's like having a 6th and 7th defender on the floor. He guards everybody all the time, everywhere. He's making threes on offense at a decent rate. He's more involved on offense. He is quietly, after so many years of injuries and wasted seasons due to health issues, quietly becoming the most dangerous bench player in the league, changes games for the Magic. They can't score, but this team can sure as hell defend.
Yeah, he's been one of the better defenders in the league all season long. So that's the key for the Magic, Jonathan Isaac. I do want to stick in the East here. What's another team that we should be paying close attention to here?
We know the Pacers are an incredible offensive team, even though Tyrese Haliburton hasn't been quite the same. But in the last month, they've been about average on defense. And believe it or not, average is pretty good for this team. Look at all these good defensive players they have on the floor at the same time. This is Draymond Green. He's done this a million times throwing this lob. But Miles Turner, Pascal Siakam, that's a lot of length and speed. And you rarely see Draymond indecisive like that. And Miles Turner gets him at the rim. If this is a legit average defense, that's all they got to be dangerous. If they're average with their offense, They're a team that's going to be a first-round upset candidate if they draw the right matchup.
Yeah, their defense last night, it maybe wasn't as good as they hoped that it can be, but they've shown some flashes of potential there. All right, yes, Zach tells me to don't do that part. All right, I think we have the East pretty well covered here. What stood out to you in the Western Conference, Zach?
One of the best stories in the West, the Dallas Mavericks, 9-1 in their last 10 games, and Kyrie and Luka are really figuring out how to maximize each other and not just go, your turn, my turn. Their chemistry is awesome. They're running a little more pick and roll together, and watch the subtleties here. First of all, if you get a switch here, it's a mismatch for Luka. No switch, but watch Kyrie. Hey, I'm gonna drift over here. Hit me towards the corner, lead me there. Colin Sexton has no idea what's coming. Luka does, open three for Kyrie. This next clip is going to end in a miss. Ignore the miss. It's a good example of chemistry. Here comes Luka. How many times have we seen this? Fake the step back? Nope, I'm not taking it. I just want you to bite on the pump fake. Whoop, I'm going to fake a cut? Nope, I'm cutting back out for three. That's a complicated little dance that Luka does a lot. Again, he misses. But Kyrie reads that all the way, finds him for a shot. These guys are starting to think the game together. Nobody wants any part of these two dudes in a playoff series.
Well, to your point, Luka and Kyrie, they're the highest scoring duo in the NBA. Take a look at all of this. They're combining to score nearly 60 points per game. So since we are on the top duo, I think it makes sense that we take a little look at the top plays from around the association last night, doing a little top of the top. And we're going to start with some top dunks here. We're going to start with Isaiah Joe.
No. Not again.
Jeff Green on a poster.
Not again.
Again. Sorry. I mean.
Move, Jeff.
Oh, with the left hand.
Jeff's been on the other side of these so many times, though.
Like, Jeff knows better. He's inside the charge circle. You know you can.
When your teammates are reacting like that. Then there's Precious Achiuwa putting an exclamation mark here on the Knicks blowout win in Toronto.
Former team, too.
Wow. Old teammate, got him.
Jalen Brunson's like, yeah, that's my guy. And then LeBron.
The super mature guy.
All over Scottie Pippen Jr. The super mature guy.
Mature guy.
Mature dunks for men.
Did he play against Scottie Pippen Sr.?
Well, Hakeem Olajuwon would be very proud of Anthony Edwards. How'd you keep your pivot foot down? Oh. That discipline, Dan.
Patience.
That's beautiful, man. That's beautiful. Isn't that kid from Princeton that he got
going.
Like that?
Again.
Jeez.
Bop.
That's a clinic.
A little dream shake. Moses Moody.
Oh, he got some bounce.
He escorts Joe Ingles to his seat there. Have a seat, please, sir.
Oh, Joe.
And then Victor Wembanyama uses his length there to give Champagne just an easy layup.
Kareem hook pass.
He's so good, man.
His release point is so high, too. And then we have some top clutch buckets here. We're going to give some more love to Jalen Green. Just an acrobatic layup here.
MJS, he's had a couple of those this season.
He really has. He's fun to watch, particularly when he's playing like this. And then, of course, Steph Curry hits a step back.
Go to sleep.
Says night-night. For six full seconds of night-night. And then, as everyone does, kicks the chairs. And then we have Kawhi. This is to tie the game.
The claw. Go up one.
Still got it, baby. We'll see it in the playoffs, too.
Can't foul him on that play, but they did. All right, top circus shots. We saw this one earlier. How do you do this while sitting, Danny?
This one was probably the toughest one. This is definitely
Is this just something that happens?
Then having the gall to actually take the shot too, right?
Like, as he's spinning on the floor. Yeah, that's something.
He actually got fouled. Look at his head. Watch his head.
Yeah, he got smacked in the face. Good old Dylan Brooks.
But is it better than Trevor Booker's buzzer beater? Oh. Swept 2015.
No. Yeah, nothing beats that one.
That is just
over the head tip.
Do that again. See if you can do it again.
Yeah, no. Nobody's topping
that's incredible.
Zach Lowe, when is this picture from?
Young Zach.
What is this from?
A long time ago.
MySpace.
This is your
maybe
top
about
eight?
That, maybe about the time Trevor Booker made that shot.
Yeah, about. It was about 12 years ago. So we just, it looks good. Boop. We appreciate that. All right, coming up next on NBA Today, we're going to tell you why this date in history, it belongs to Michael Jordan himself. Don't go anywhere. That answer on the other side.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
NBA Today is presented by Levi's. The floor is yours.
Limits, like fears, are often just an illusion.
People at the foul line, a shot on either.
I'm not sure if Michael Jordan is your GOAT or not, but we don't need to get into that debate today. We can just appreciate greatness because he had a knack for doing something special on March 28th. In 1990, Danny, he dropped a career-high 69 points against the Cavaliers. He even added a career-high 18 boards as well.
Yeah, that's nothing to do with that, especially back then. That's a lot of points. But they actually played defense.
Yeah, I wonder what the final score was. In 1995, it was the iconic double nickel against the Knicks at Madison Square Garden, which was the unofficial sign of him being back.
Yeah, we're in the 4-5, too.
Unofficially official. So now in the new millennium, 2003, that was the final meeting, of course, between MJ and Kobe. But this time, Kobe put up his own double nickel in this one. And Danny, since you are here and we're going to, you know, cheat a little with this last one because it's the anniversary is actually tomorrow, but you're here today. UNC is playing across the street in just a little bit, so we had to show his historic game winner. This is 82, the Natty. So March 28th, it might be one of the most memorable days when it comes to MJ. This is pretty great.
Where it all began for him, you know?
Where it all began. There's so many memorable moments for Michael Jordan. But, Zach, if you had to pick just one, what would it be?
For me, the flu game is I remember exactly where I was and who I was with in that moment, in that game, one of the all-time great moments of toughness and tenacity in sports history. I was sitting on a couch home from college, watching with my dad. We had some good father-son bonding and wondering, how in the hell is this guy doing this? And you will never forget the image of Michael Jordan being propped up by Scottie Pippen, Scottie kind of dragging him off the floor at the end of the game because he could barely get out of the arena. An all-time great performance. Sorry to producer Greg, who is a Jazz fan.
Athleticism, grace, power. Jordan's baseline dunk in the Garden. And then finishing it on Pat after tiptoeing on the sideline. Like, come on now. Come on now. That look at this. Sorry, Oak. Ooh! Bam!
My favorite analysis is always, ooh, bam, skirt! Boom!
There's everything in that. Everything you need to know about Michael Jordan is in that play.
What about you, Danny?
Yeah, those top two, him over Mutombo. But for me, it was the flu game. But besides those two, I was so young. I'm a little bit less mature than these guys. So I was a youngin' watching him play, my fellow Carolina. But him in the All-Star game, teaming up with Shaq, them playing around. You could tell back then it was so competitive they didn't team up. But you could tell this is the first and very few times they got a chance to be teammates. And they wondered what it was like to be teammates. So watching him in this All-Star game, and his last All-Star game where Vince gave him the start and he hit the bucket fadeaway for the game. But this one was a fun one to see him and Shaq be teammates.
Yeah, so many good Michael Jordan moments. So many that occurred today, which is sort of a fun quirk on March 28th. It only becomes, what is it? The age is like maturity, fine wine. What's Danny Green's got the word today.
Jordan-esque.
That's going to do it for us here on NBA Today.